Hello everybody, it's me Roscoe and welcome to the latest episode of the Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast, sponsored by Stardust Spirits. And Stu?
Molecular.
Yes, I literally forgot what I said to you to do to set this up, but it's all good, my friend. Hopefully this podcast won't get abandoned, I can say that, halfway through. My friend, we've got a lot to cover. How are you after our trip to Lancashire?
I'm all right. I've just about dried off. It's just amused me, the thought of maybe someone just coming in and chucking a bucket of water over you. You could have Sasha come in and then we just have to call it to a halt midway through. We haven't got a result to discuss, but we certainly got an eventful weekend in Lancashire to break down, haven't we?
We do indeed. Yeah, I've just about dried off after being pitch side and my cameras... They're okay, I think. I'm going to really test them out later in the week and let them dry off. And hopefully I've got cameras for the Portsmouth game because, yeah, it was very wet. But then I saw you obviously stayed over Saturday night, Stu. Sunday, glorious sunshine in Blackburn.
It was, yeah, typically. We were obviously under the roof of the stands. You were pitch side and you came in looking like a bit of a drowned rat at the end of things. I did feel for you. I hope all your equipment is in some rice and drying out nicely at the moment. We were sort of driving up there. It was a really sunny Suffolk day, wasn't it, on Friday. It sort of caught me out a little bit, to be honest. I'd seen the weather sort of warnings, yellow weather warnings, but probably didn't pack as many layers. It's dawned on me it's probably time to start bringing a hat. Those of us who are follicly challenged feel it a little bit more. So I was shivering away watching that game. But we got about halfway up the M6 on Saturday and we knew the rain was coming. And I think it started about midday as we got sort of edged closer towards Lancashire. And it just didn't stop, did it? I don't know what time it started in Lancashire, but from midday onwards, it wasn't heavy downpour, but it was just constant rain. And we started to think, What's Blackburn's precedent with games here? And Alex started telling us, oh, they've had some issues at Ewood Park before. And we were frantically ringing press officers and people at both clubs. And any suggestion of a pitch inspection? No, as far as we're concerned, we were told. And then things unfolded from there.
It did, yeah. It was mad because, yeah, on Friday, I was wearing shorts and just a T-shirt going outside. And then up in Lancashire... many layers. I should have brought that extra bit of clothing because I will admit when I was in Barry's new car, I did have to strip off one of my layers and I wish I, I wasn't in my pants in the car because I had like two trousers on. I do obviously the waterproof and then just some tracksuit bottoms. But yeah, I did think maybe I should have brought maybe some spare clothes. So maybe in the future, if it's a yellow weather warning, bring an extra bit of clothing just in case it does go right through because I had some wet socks and it was not
soggy
nice,
bottom.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but I don't know if that's the right thing to say, but you've said it now, so there we go. But yeah, the thing it was very fine rain, which is the worst sort of rain during that period before the game. And obviously, you know, I'm sure Blackburn's groundsmen, they were trying their best to, you know, make sure it's getting forked and stuff. But, you know, yeah. It just got worse and worse, the rain. And I will admit, I may have jinxed it at halftime. I said to another photographer, I went, it's not actually been that bad, the rain. I thought it wasn't as wet as I thought it was going to be. I was looking at my cameras and they weren't too bad. And then, yeah, the second half, it just got worse and worse. But, yeah, we are going to assess the game, Stu, because 80 minutes did get played. And then we'll discuss the big talking point, the three different options that the EFL will have. And, yeah, we'll find out their decision. But, it was an unchanged Kieran McKenna team, Stu, which was not a surprise. Where do you want to start? You know, the first half, the conditions were testing, but it was playable for the most part.
It was, yeah. I mean, from the very start, the conditions did play a part in the game. They weren't ideal. They're certainly not ideal for an Ipswich side that wants to get the ball down and play. But that's the way the cookie crumbles. You know, conditions is a part of football, certainly in English football, when you get into towards winter now. There are games where the elements aren't going to be in your favour and deal with it. You have to show other sides of your game. So I got no problem with the game starting. I think it's very difficult for the authorities to call a game off on a weather prediction, on a weather forecast. I mean, it was pretty clear that, I know they can get it wrong weather-wise, but I think, you know, it was obvious that there was like 99% chance of rain. It wasn't like it was isolated showers in different things. It was across the whole of Lancashire. Maybe they could have taken into play the fact that there's the River Darwen right next to the ground. And from what I understand, they've had some drainage issues because of that in the past. But I think if it's playable at the time of kickoff, you have to go with it and see what happens. So I think it was right to play. Conditions are the same for both teams. First half, in summary, just a competitive championship game where both teams had, you know, it wasn't a classic because of said conditions, but both teams had chances. I think Ipswich forced three saves out of the goalkeeper. I remember Leif Davis having a shot that keeper sort of got a strong right hand to. Who else? Philogene probably should have done better with a shot sort of just inside the box from a McAteer pass inside early on. Blackburn's George Hurst, yeah, that was the best one, wasn't it? Just a big ball over the top from O'Shea, it was a good pass over the top from O'Shea, probably doing it a disservice there. Hurst in behind, goalkeeper sort of comes out and smothers his shot on the angle. That was the best of them. Blackburn had some as well, one from a set piece. It was a long throw, actually, I think, early on, where the sort of ball got flicked beyond the near post and Palmer did well to sort of claw it over the bar. Blackburn played some nice stuff, actually, in parts. Sort of cut their way through Ipswich at times, but the final pass wasn't quite there from them. So, half-time, 0-0. Was it perfect from Ipswich? No, there's still some times where it slows down a little bit too much. The decision-making isn't quite there, but I thought they defended pretty well. They'd had some chances, they'd got into the break level, and you think ordinarily you'd be thinking, well, we've talked a lot about this strength on the bench and maybe they can come on and make a difference. And then the second half's a different story, because that's when the heavens really started to open, wasn't it? Sort of during just after half time. And things became increasingly ridiculous / farcical from there.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, at half time, I went into the photographer's room, which is basically just a storage cupboard. But there was teas and sandwiches. But I sat in there with a few other people. And yeah, I was not expecting what I was going to have when I came out for the second half. And that's when it really did. As you said, the heavens opened. And I was like, oh God, this is going to be a long second half. But a good thing about this, it's not a good thing, but we had the Rotherham game, didn't we? A few seasons back, didn't we, Stu, where we obviously were halfway to Rotherham. But obviously that was cancelled because the safety of supporters, because, you know, there was a river in Rotherham as well, that bank sort of burst. So, yeah, at least we sort of were able to watch a game than, say, going all the way. Because remember, you went to Shrewsbury, remember, during COVID times, and it was a frozen pitch up at Shrewsbury. You went all the way up there and then, yeah, they obviously pulled it off. So I think that's the worst sort of outcome. You go all the way there. You don't even watch a game and report on a game. At least we had 80 minutes of football being played.
Yeah, Shrewsbury sticks in my mind. I think myself and Andy Warren, just as we walked through into the sort of stadium and saw the pitch, we saw the goalposts being carried off, which wasn't a good sign that we were going to get any action. Then that we were told, don't turn around and go home just yet. There's talk that we might play this tomorrow, which they didn't eventually. There was a whole debate, remember, that I think the microphones of the Shrewsbury TV or Shrewsbury radio commentary team had been left open, and they were sort of debating that Ipswich didn't fancy it and they wanted it at a later date. So that one sticks in the mind. I remember a home game against Middlesbrough several years ago, where that little sort of shady patch along the front of one stand just wouldn't thaw out. It was very cold. And then who was it? I think it might have been Ibrahima Sonko. Jumped and fell badly on it, and they had to call that off for safety reasons. So, but there's not been too many over the years, has there? And you'd like to think at championship level and above, there shouldn't be too many games that can't kind of stand up to the test. But, you know, you can't do anything about weather conditions and where your stadiums are situated. But I know people have pointed out that, You know, Burnley, just a few miles down the road, managed to complete their game against Forest at the same time. Old Trafford, you know, had a real deluge later in the day. So there's a whole debate around all of that, isn't there? But yeah, there's some events in the second half to discuss before we get on to the call off.
Yeah, definitely. There's one game as well that got called off, and I actually called it because I don't know if you remember, we did a Facebook Live back in the day. And this was before I got into this role, but I was working at the paper. And obviously that was when we had the Beast from the East in 2018, in Ipswich, which we were going to be playing Hull City at Portman Road. And I just said live on Facebook, just sort of said, yeah, the game will probably be off tomorrow, so yeah, don't bother coming. And then I think you guys going, I don't know if you should have said that. But then a few hours later, it was called off because it was very bad snow in that time. So yeah, but it's, you know, English weather for you. You just don't know sometimes. But yeah, should we talk about that second half? Because was it maybe the 55th minute? I think that's when it got to a point where I was like, oh, there's one bad pass. It just wouldn't get to a player. And it just got worse and worse. And then obviously we had the red card. Should we talk about that?
Yeah, red card came first, 49th minute, 4 minutes after the restart. I don't think we can blame the conditions for this one. You could argue that it maybe lose a little bit of footing, but I don't think so. It's unfortunately another example of Ipswich not dealing with a long straight ball forwards. Jacob Greaves, again, the man, about 40 yards from goal, fairly central, isolated with the Blackburn striker Ohashi. And just tugs him back, doesn't he? And I don't think there can be any complaints that it was a red card, denies an obvious goal-scoring opportunity. There wasn't really sort of anyone that you could say was on the cover. And it's another example, as I say, I think I remember on the opening day at Birmingham, Greaves probably got away with one with that disallowed goal in fairly similar circumstances. The penalty at Preston, another example of getting in a little bit of a muddle there. It was O'Shea against Derby, which was a sort of a long ball forward, straight one again that wasn't dealt with very well, that led to one of their goals. So that's been a bit of an Achilles heel at the start of this season. And it's made all the more frustrating for me that both O'Shea and Greaves can look so good for long periods in games. I mean, Greaves made several outstanding sort of sliding blocks in this game. The two of them got their head on a lot of corners and long throws into the box, but these little sleepy switch-off moments that are leading to goals have to stop, because Championship games, as we know, tend to be really tight, fine margins, not a lot in it. If you give the opposition a leg up, it gives them something to sit on and defend for their lives, and Ipswich need to start cutting that out. One thing I would add on top of that, as much as that debate that we've just had is fair, that there needs to be some improvements. You know, what I now see quite a lot of is it immediately comes back to Cameron Burgess. Cameron Burgess is better, and Cameron Burgess now has been sort of elevated to ridiculous heights in people's minds of how good a player he is. Look, we all love Cameron Burgess.
He scored a good goal for Swansea as well, didn't he?
He did score a good goal. He scored two goals for them the other night. Could have been sent off in that game, by the way. That kind of gets lost in amongst the two-goal headlines. But Cameron Burgess, took him a little while to find his feet at Ipswich Town. He was far deeper into his Ipswich career than Jacob Greaves is now, when he was having really difficult games against Barrow in the FA Cup and getting turned high up the pitch by people like Cambridge. And, you know, it took time for him to find his feet. And I think Jacob Greaves is showing lots of qualities, but still ironing out a few little flaws. And he'll get there, and Kieran McKenna will get there, I'm sure of it. So I just think that's something important to remember. I know the debate can then be, well, hang on, having taken all that time to get Burgess up to speed, why let him go when maybe we could have kept him in the summer? But football keeps moving. You have to keep evolving. And I do think Jacob Greaves will get there, and he is doing a lot of good things. But that issue of long straight balls leading to goals and red cards and issues is definitely something that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, and obviously Jacob Greaves was a Championship player, player of the team of the season, you know, prior to him signing for Town. So he knows this division very well, and he's just obviously, I know he'll go well, he's played in this division before, so he should be, you know, used to these sort of teams. but he's obviously playing with a different back line and a different, you know, play style with Kieran McKenna. So, and obviously last year was a tough sort of season for the whole team in the Premier League. That's his first ever, you know, period playing in top flight football. So I like Jacob Greaves and I think he'll come good. So just got to be patient with that. But yeah, the red card will stand then, Stu, as we understand it, potentially.
That's the guidance that I've been given. Personally, I can't get my head around that one. So we'll talk about what may or may not happen. But in the circumstance that it gets replayed, I'm told that the red card still stands. I don't see how you can essentially void a game of football, but then pick and choose which elements of it remain. Because Todd Cantwell will have his goal scratched off, but Jacob Greaves will still have a red card against his name. Mm-hmm. It will be a one-match ban. It's important to say that. I've seen, you know, most people assume that a straight red is three, but that's for violent conduct, for denying an obvious goal-scoring opportunity. Dogso, for short, is a one-match ban. So, as it stands, I'm assuming he'll be banned for Portsmouth at home on Saturday, but the authorities have still got a fair bit of unpicking to do at the moment, and we'll see in due course. But the guidance that I've been given is that, yes, suspensions still stand in that scenario, which is, as I say, a slightly strange one to me.
Yeah, very much so, because we'll get on to the three options very shortly. But let's talk about the penalty, because obviously Darnell Furlong, would he have conceded that if it was better conditions? It's an interesting one, because he does slip, but he does go from behind. I don't know. It's where how do you see it?
I think conditions did play their part in that. There's no doubting that it had to be given as a penalty, because he does run across the heels of, it's Cantwell, isn't it, who they sort of come together. But it was a really odd one. I don't think Furlong's making any attempt to sort of get the ball. But he ends up sort of slipping and running across the hills, and the two of them kind of end up in a bit of a heap. So, yeah, I think conditions were getting worse by that point, and I think they probably did play their part in the penalty. Great penalty from Todd Cantwell, ex-Norwich man, felt destined to play his part. He's in form. He's relishing the responsibility of the captain's armband right inside the post, despite Palmer guessing the right way. But by that stage, as you say, I think the first signs of it becoming a real issue, from it being a blood and thunder game in the rain, fair, deal with it, I think from about 55 minutes. There was a moment where Casey McAteer sort of tried to run up the right and almost kind of ran beyond the ball because the ball wasn't quite rolling. And that's, I think, the first moment that I turned to Alex and a few others around me going, whoa, this I've got some concerns about this going the full distance. And we started to wonder. And maybe, probably, I think a decision would have come sooner if it weren't for the fact that Blackburn then go and score. Because I think if the scorelines are level, it makes it easier for the referee to call it to a halt. But once one team gets in front, you know, it becomes a harder decision to make. When Blackburn scored, 59. Mm.
So 59, so yeah.
So I say, yeah, first signs were probably around sort of 55, and then the penalty incident comes on 59, which I think it was affected by the rain. And then the referee starts thinking, well, it's at the home side is 1-0 up against 10 men. I'm going to get absolute pelters if I call them off now. So he probably thinks, oh, I'll give it a few more minutes. And it just got silly, didn't it? Really silly.
Yeah. Like, I was even struggling to take pictures, because it was just, I was like, I was trying to protect my camera as much as possible. I was just getting wet. I will admit, there was a moment where I did go into the stand, but then even in the stand, I was getting wet. So I just thought, you know what, I might as well just stay where I was and just get as many pictures as I could. But yeah, I literally did give up. And I went, you know, it's not worth it. I just thought, it's not worth it. The boys can get some pictures from a different viewpoint. But then, as I said, I was getting wet anyway, so I thought I might as well just go back to where I was. And then, yeah, for a good 10 minutes or so, I just sitting there just like, I actually wanted it called off. This is just getting ridiculous. It's just pointless. And then we had, obviously, the Cedric Kipray situation with him just sliding, which is probably the moment of the match. And then you just had people passing and just wouldn't even get to their man. And then, you know, yeah, players just slipping over. It just, yeah. Like, once again, I do love a good
Kipray challenge.
Yeah.
It is the enduring image I think I'll take from this afternoon. That came on 75. He'd come on after Greaves had been sent off. Akpom was the man that was sacrificed. Ipswich just sort of playing 4-4-1 at that point. What I will say is, you know, the subs had come on and immediately Jack Clark almost set up Sammy Schmodix to score with his first touch, who was cheered on by Blackburn fans, which I thought, you know, it was really nice of them to sort of recognise his contribution. But I thought, well, you kind of putting a bit of wind into the sails of a player that can hurt you in a minute. And he almost did within seconds. So even though Ipswich were down to 10 men, they were very much in the game, albeit in difficult conditions. And then, yeah, the Kipre challenge on 75. I think it was on Gudjonsson, son of Ida. Andre, who'd come on for his home debut for Blackburn. Was he doing it to make a bit of a point, or is that just Cedric Kipre? I mean, having done a bit of a deep dive on him and his playing style and attributes, I think that's just a bit of Cedric Kipre. I think he relished coming on in these conditions. But if you've ever seen the Sol Campbell never-ending slide tackle video, it was ripe for these sort of conditions, and Kipre gave it a real good go. I mean, it was a proper splash slide tackle, wasn't it? And he just kept sliding, and Gudjonsson slipped and slide everywhere. A huge splash came up. There's a video that captures it that I think one of the Ipswich fans took from the away end. And then at that point, you were thinking it's a matter of time. We limped on for another 3-4 minutes, didn't we? And it was Kipre sort of involved in finally the incident that decided made up the referee's mind.
Yeah, but then obviously we still had, like, was it 25 minutes for the ref to sort of go inside, speak to the managers, and come back out and do the sort of the famous, all right, let's see if the ball bounces and rolls, even though, like, you've been away for maybe 20 minutes or whatever. It's going to be still raining. What's the point? Yeah. I know you've got to do it to show the sort of fans, but it's just like, it's rained even more, mate. And also the groundsman at Blackburn, I think they also knew, like, there's no point for us going. Like, I think a few of them went out and did some forking, but
By this point, it was just comical, wasn't it? I mean, the Kipre pass tried to play a 10-yard pass to a teammate and it just stopped in a puddle about 4 yards away, dead. Did he do that on purpose to kind of make a point to the referee? Did he pick? There were certain areas of the pitch that were worse. I don't know. Maybe I'm giving him a bit more credit than he deserves there. But that was the moment where you're just like, the ball doesn't even roll. This is, not only is it not making it a proper game of football, but it's unsafe for the players at that point. And you have to remember that, you know, if he did carry on and someone got hurt, I mean, we're laughing about the Kipre challenge there, but, you know, it becomes dangerous conditions there and you have to think about player welfare. So he had to stop it. Then, you know, a lot of black, very cold and wet people all started heading for the exits. We get an announcement to say, ladies and gentlemen, you know, please stay in your seats. A decision hasn't been made yet. And I think, yeah, we looked at our watches. I think from the players heading back down the tunnel to the game finally being called off took 25 minutes. That then just became, you know, just added to the comedy of the afternoon there with the referee coming out and dropping the ball to a plop and a thud into puddles and Ipswich fans sort of cheering each one. I think Alex took a video of that that's got like 200,000 views on X at the moment. Bit silly, really, as you say. Then that what are the groundsmen doing out there, sort of forking at the pitch as if that was going to make a difference? It was all a bit of unnecessary theatre, wasn't it? I think we all knew that there was absolutely no chance, because the rain had got worse by that point, that the game was going to finish. And during that period, we're all scrambling for the rule books to see, you know, what happens next.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I went into the photographer's room again because I was like, it's no point in me just staying out there with my camera. And I thought, and there was like a TV in there I can sort of watch if they do come out. That's when the ref did come out and I quickly ran. Obviously, I wanted to get some pictures of the ref trying to chuck the ball down. And then, yeah, I just knew straight away that's done. And then I was just packing up my stuff and then we were just waiting for that. But yeah, fair play to obviously the fans who stayed in the ground. I think there was just some who were just hoping, especially Ipswich fans, because you travel all that way. You're just like, I don't want to leave just yet, just in case they do play it. But yeah, it was never going to be able to play. And now the EFL have a decision to make, Stu. And there's three options. Play the remainder of the game, which would be mad. Let the result stand, will reset and replay the game in the full 90, 11v11, 0-0. But yeah, should we start first of all with the first option, let the result stand, which obviously Blackburn will like that. Town probably won't. But yeah, what's your thoughts on that?
Before I get on to sort of option A, I mean, my first thought went to, there's a lot of talk of, well, it's gone beyond 75 minutes, so the result has to stand. And I think that was an old ruling. I don't know when it stopped, but if you remember back to the Oxford game in the fog, midway through the League One promotion season in January time, where that just got, again, ridiculous. We couldn't see the ball on the other side of the pitch. That got stopped fairly late in the game. And both managers were told, allegedly, that day that by the referee, well, if we stop now, the result stands. So I think both managers wanted to stop, but they sort of went, well, if the result stands, we may as well carry on playing anyway. And Ipswich obviously went on to lose the game 2-1. And you could argue that that cost them the title in the end that season. So maybe Ipswich are due a bit of luck on the weather front. So the ruling is not that. The ruling is, as you say, that it now goes to an EFL sort of board, and it's at their discretion as to what they do next. And you've outlined the three. First thing to say is, should the ruling be that wishy-washy, to be honest? Should there be some more hard and fast things? Should we now be spending days all debating about what is right and wrong? Should it be a bit more black and white? I guess the reason that they do this is that if a game got to 85 minutes and someone was 3-0 up, then obviously there isn't going to be any debate that I think most people would just say, yeah, well, that's fair. Let's just finish and call it at that. The reason they give themselves the option is for scenarios like this. But this is about as hard a decision that you've got. You've got one team with a narrow lead up against 10 men late in the game, but not super late. You know, it was the 80th minute, but there would have been tons of stoppage time because we'd had, I think, seven subs. We'd had a penalty, a red card. The referee had to go off for ages to get his radio equipment sorted, which had obviously failed in the rain. So there'd have been at least 5 minutes, probably more, of stoppage time. 15 minutes is a long time in football, isn't it? And I know Ipswich were down to 10, but 10 men quite often come back in games. Ipswich have scored two late equalisers already this season, Blackburn and Derby. Blackburn already this season have lost a game going into the 90th minute, 1-0 up against Birmingham. So that for me, rules out call the result. There was just too much that could happen. And I've seen the counter-argument from Blackburn fans, which is to say, well, how can you say that 10, 15, 20 minutes of what could happen outweighs 80 minutes of what did happen? And I have real sympathy with that argument. I really do. But I just can't see how you can call a result with so much football still to be played. So for me, I think you have to rule that option out.
Yeah, me too, because Ipswich Town, they'll keep going. Oh my God, the sun is just like, you're watching a video, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what I was like, I was getting risen up there. But I don't think we can rule that out. I hope they don't go down that route. Then I'm sure Ipswich Town will be wanting to know the bigger reason for that. But option B is very, very weird if it did happen. So I don't know how they would do it. So obviously 80th minute, Jack Greaves, obviously it's 10 men.
Yeah.
It's 1-0 Blackburn. But then whenever they play that, we've said before, like, players could potentially get injured. And then do you play it behind closed doors or do you let fans in? If you don't let fans in, then obviously Blackburn are off that home advantage. Town have obviously lost that way backing.
Logistical, absolute logistical nightmare for this one. Really complicated. On the face of it, this is objectively the fairest way. But how can you replicate the variables going into those final 10, 15 minutes again? For me, the moment has passed for that. The way of doing it would have been to Ipswich stay over and then we'll do it tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon or whatever. But I guess they weren't able to make that quick decision. A, probably because, let's be honest, EFL committee members probably don't start till 9 o'clock on Monday morning. But more likely, it's that the two clubs are going to then, there has to be a process of the two clubs making their case. Blackburn pushing for the result to stand, Ipswich pushing against it. So that sort of, let's finish this off Sunday, probably couldn't happen for that reason. But once it doesn't happen the next day, you know, how do you then, it's now not going to be this week, is it? So it's going to, they're going to have to slot that final few minutes in further down the line. What players can the managers pick? So it starts sort of 11v10. Do you have to field the same players that were on the pitch when that action came to an end? Could you do that? There might be someone else injured, suspended. You know, it's open to kind of foul play of saying, well, this player's ill or this player's carrying a knock. We can't play them. So all of a sudden, Kieran McKenna sneaks a few more attackers into his team. And all of a sudden, the Blackburn manager wants to get a few more defenders into his team. And that becomes all a little bit farcical as well, doesn't it? And then you say there's the issue of supporters. Blackburn aren't probably going to open the stadium to fans because it costs a lot of money to staff it and steward it and all that sort of stuff for the sake of 20 minutes of action or whatever. So, and they'd probably suck it up because if it was that or replaying the whole game, they would probably do it. But they would then have no home supporters behind them. And Ipswich, you know, certainly. And then if you do open the stadium, Ipswich aren't going to be sending 4,000 up for such a short period of time, are they? So that opens a whole can of worms, I think, trying to finish the game off. You know, and it's just, again, it's two fresh sets of players playing rather than, you know, two rain-soaked, sodden, tired set of players trying to slog it out for the last few minutes. So you just can't replicate kind of the conditions and the variables. So it seems the fairest option, but I just can't see how they can do it, to be honest.
Yeah. Because it'll obviously be a Tuesday night as well if they had a reset, because like, there's no free weekend for them to do it. So it will be a different day, different time of night as well. So if they do it behind closed doors, they could just do it in the week and it would be like, they could do 3 p.m. and it would be like a normal Saturday. But yeah, I think that's out of the window, that option. And I think that would be silly if they went down that route. I think the best option, and Ipswich Town would like this, it will benefit Ipswich a lot, and that is reset and replay it, my friend.
Yeah, and I'm very conscious that, you know, those of a Blackburn persuasion will hear us associated with Ipswich Town talking about that being the best and fairest option of a bad bunch and rolling eyes and saying, of course you're going to say that. But, yeah, I mean, we've worked back, haven't we? And we've kind of ruled out option A. We've said option B is very difficult, which then really only leaves option C. And that's just replay it. And I think there's plenty of precedent that tends to be what happens. I think that's what they'll have to do. And I have real sympathy with Blackburn, Ipswich have got away with one here, if that proves to be the case, as expected. And if the boot was on the other foot, we'd be very upset and angry and disappointed by it. And it won't just be Blackburn fans that are feeling that way. It will be Ipswich's competitors in the Championship as well. If Ipswich go on to get something, a point or more from a replayed game, and that proves to be decisive in deciding a spot at the end of the season, you know, there's going to be a hell of a lot more debate to come around all of that, isn't there? But I don't see a way around it. The only other thing is that I've seen people suggest is maybe sort of the gentlemanly thing, the spirit of the game would be to start the game, replay it, but Ipswich let Blackburn walk a goal in from the start, which we've seen happen in football before, whether Ipswich, you know, take off a man themselves. But I don't know. Again, Ipswich could then argue, well, it's not our fault that we came to your place and your pitch wasn't playable. You didn't offer up a surface that was able to withstand the elements, unlike many pitches around us. So there's a lot of money on the line when you're trying to get back to the Premier League and the hundreds of millions of pounds that are sloshing around and riding on all these things. There probably isn't much room for Corinthian spirit, I would suggest, but it's an interesting thought.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, if they do reset the game, can we just check the forecast and just make sure this ground is looking good? I know once again we looked at the forecast and we were worried a bit anyway, but if we definitely know it's going to be raining throughout the 5 hours in that period where the game's going to be, you know, from midday to, because even when we left the ground, it was still raining. I think we left the ground about maybe 6:30 or 7 potentially. It was still raining in Blackburn. So, but it's just funny, as you say, you woke up on Sunday morning, it was lovely sunshine. So it's just how the weather can quickly change. But my gut feeling is, yeah, they're going to probably just reset and replay and then just find a Tuesday night for us to play there. Obviously, I'm going to say that as an Ipswich Town fan and man covering the club, but I think that's probably the fairest probably decision, because Ipswich not guaranteed to win the game. Like Blackburn fans maybe be a bit annoyed, or I've got to play them again, but
they're going to be fired up for it, aren't they? If that's the case, the crowd are going to be right up for it. It's going to be. We've seen already. It was a difficult challenge, and I think it probably even more so if they go back there. And again, you've now got to slot it into. We're getting into the stage where we're getting into sort of relentless Championship territory now, aren't we? It's Portsmouth, then it's Bristol City away next Tuesday, then it's the East Anglian Derby, and it's kind of Saturday, Tuesday. For the foreseeable when you get into the winter months, isn't it? And now Ipswich have got to slot another long trip to Ewood Park in, likely. So that won't be easy. It's not ideal, but it's certainly a reprieve. And when that comes about, if that comes about, they've got to make the most of it. But what do you make of the performance? I mean, we did have 80 minutes to reflect on. Can you read too much into that performance? Is there anything that you kind of took away from it?
I think it does prove we're not very good in the rain. We've had that before in seasons gone by under Kieran McKenna. I know obviously it's both teams who are playing that conditions, but I don't know, there's times where I feel like, well, we struggle in those elements. But I still felt, you know, we're creating chances. Even in the rain, we were like really, you know, pushing to try to get a goal. Which copstick what I just said, but I think if we took those chances early doors, you know, I think it would have been a great day. I think we would have ended, you know, well, the game would have been called off, you know, been fine, we would have got the points, because I think if Hurst chance, I can't believe he didn't score that, because I thought that was a big chance for him. But yeah, still things to work on, my friend, especially after last week's 5-0 win against Sheffield United. Still wasn't free-flowing. But overall, I thought we were okay.
They are what they are. They're work in progress, aren't they? And I know that piece is not what people want to hear. And it's the same for everyone. I look at it every week. I look at the opposition. I'm sort of, we're learning again about sort of Championship teams, because so much has changed a year away. Squads are very different. But I look at it and ins and outs, probably the average is about 10. So Ipswich aren't the only ones going through a bit of a kind of new team build at the moment. And so many teams have got new managers as well, unlike Ipswich. So we need time to gel bit can't last forever. There are still times where I feel like it's just not quite telepathic yet. Is it? There's things where it's that split second, and that's all it needs, a split second of thinking about what they're going to do rather than it just coming naturally and then the moment's gone. But, you know, I thought Leif Davis had a good game. He's, you know, there's been good signs in the last couple of games that he's getting back to his sort of marauding self going forwards. As I say, apart from the mistake for the red card, defended pretty well. Ultimately, it's a unfortunate penalty, which is the goal against, created some chances. So, as you say, if one of those early chances had gone in, who's to say in normal conditions they wouldn't have gone on to grind out a 1-0, bit like the last time they went to Ewood Park, and we're all coming away going, wow, classic away day display and really good step in the right direction. For me, I'm not dwelling too much on this. I don't think you can the conditions just spoiled it as a game of pure football. And for Ipswich, it's move on. And McKenna, I think, will kind of distance himself from all of this chat. And it's, you know, his full focus now is on you know, a big home game against Portsmouth on Saturday.
Yeah. One thing I like, though, is every time I look at our bench and just go, that is, what a bench that is. The players we can bring on, like Sammy Swanwick's, you know, as you said, they're obviously Blackburn fans were cheering him, even when he was warming up and stuff. And that must have just got him, as you mentioned earlier, like, oh, just well up for it. And just to bring on players like that, it's just incredible. You know, Egeli didn't get to come on. I think probably Kieran McKenna went, yeah, don't worry about it, mate. Don't worry about coming on for this one. But yeah, I just love the bench that we can bring on. And as we said before in the last podcast, the bench boost, which happened with Sheffield United as well, we'd be able to bring on those players who, you know, got the goals. So, yeah, I'm liking that. One thing that maybe, I wouldn't say went under the radar, Stu, but the club released their third kit. We saw that for the first time. Obviously, it got leaked on, you know, social media prior, I think a month ago. But yeah, we were able to see that kit for the first time up at Blackburn. It's going to be a weird story. You're going to have an abandoned game, and then the first time we saw the third kit, what's your thoughts on it?
I like it, actually. I think from the pictures that we'd seen on the leaks, it looked sort of black. But in person, it looks kind of more grey. I think technically, I'm told it's volcanic ash is the colour of this. There's sort of horizontal stripes through it that are very slightly different tonally. But yeah, it's essentially a kind of a darkish grey with electric blue, like a bright turquoise with the Halo logo. Not a sort of traditional Ipswich Town badge. It's just a big Suffolk Punch, which I've seen some people saying it's a bit too big, but quite like it. It's a bit different. It sort of shouts Ipswich Town, doesn't it, when you look at it? I don't mind it. Look, in general, there's the debate about whether you need to bring out three new kits every year and whether that's putting a bit of undue pressure on parents to keep buying their kids shirts and all the rest of it and the prices of them now, but everyone does it commercially. It's a big thing for the club. If people want to buy it, it's up to them. And yeah, I quite like this one, actually.
Yeah, I think it's fine. It's you know, when I saw it, when I was taking pictures of it, and I was like, yeah, it does stand out. Maybe in the rain, it probably wasn't the ideal kit to have in the rain. But yeah, with the badge, I don't know. Like, I've been seeing a few people on social media saying, well, maybe they're going to move away from that, you know, the current crest, and maybe they'll go towards just having the punch, which is probably another discussion for another day. But
well, a lot of clubs have rebranded badges, most actually up and down the land, to kind of come into a modern era of things that work digitally. I remember Norwich when they sort of changed theirs and they put out quite an in-depth video as to why it was important. Like Juventus and go for quite minimalistic, though, those sort of brands of badge. Is that something Ipswich will look at in time? I don't know, actually. That's something to maybe for me to ask some questions behind the scenes. It's probably just trying something a little bit different for a third kit at the moment. I don't know.
Yeah, because it's the 30th anniversary of the current club crest this season. So I think that's just obviously them just go celebrating that. But yeah, the third kit. Out of the three, Stu, what's the rankings for you?
The three kits, home kit, third kit, away kit.
Yeah.
You?
I'll probably am the same. The red kit, it's weirdly grown on me. I just wish the pattern was just all over. I don't know. I just don't get it why it's just there. But that's just little things. I don't mind red. You know, red's actually one of my favourite colours. So, but yeah, I know a lot of people don't like that. And a lot of people with the home kit, they just think it's a bit boring. But I think it just does the job. And do you know what? The goalkeeping kits, the purple one, big fan of that. So maybe goalkeeping kits. I've seen more people wear them more often. So, but yeah, there's a few Town fans who were lucky enough to get the third kit during the game. I think some of the players were given some apps. I remember going to the service station and I saw a kid having Ashley Young third kit. I was like, how has he got that already? And Ashley Young gave it to him. So there were some lucky Town fans who got the third kit, which is a nice little touch from the club.
That's sort of something that they've done fairly quietly without any great sort of fuss. That's a nice touch, isn't it? They're going out, handing out sort of signed shirts and giving them away to kids. And clubs doing a lot of things like that on the quiet. Mark Ashton always talks about doing the right thing while no one's looking, and I think that is genuine. They do try and do a lot of stuff like that, a lot of things that probably we don't know about. The foundation, as we know, does loads of great work, and there's already talk about, you know, rewarding the fans that made that trip up. Saw quite a few of them having their breakfast on Sunday morning. I think they tried to make the best of a bad situation. We saw a few, I think, topless in the stands when the rain was coming down, and you know, certainly having a bit of fun when the referee came back out and went through that theatre that we've already discussed. But yeah, certainly won't have been their best away day. And I think, you know, the club are now talking about, I assume, sort of maybe funding the a replay if it comes. So yeah, those things I think are important to praise and highlight when the club does that.
Yeah, definitely. And there was an awkward moment during the that period when the game got stopped. I went into one of the stands, and it was actually the Blackburn end, and there was a back and forth between Blackburn and Ipswich fans, you know, obviously just doing a bit of banter. But I felt like I was like the man in the middle, where I was like, I'm probably in the wrong stand here, because obviously Ipswich fans were just shouting abuse at the Blackburn fans, and Blackburn fans doing the same. And I was just like, I'm caught in the middle here, because I'm not involved in both, really. I'm obviously more on Ipswich side, but I just felt very, like, awkward, because I remember, like, looking around, and there was, like, an Ipswich fan, like, shouting at me, and I was like, I'm not one of them, I'm not one of them. But, you know, that was just the best stand I could go in, because I had a bit more cover than the away end. So, but, yeah, that was, but, yeah, salute to all the Town fans who, you know, sort of stuck around, because obviously the players went out and sort of clapped and said, you know, thank you for the support. I'm going to out Jack Clark, who... he went over and clapped, but then he then ran and was like jumping over. He had like his flip-flops on, and he was like trying to get back in as soon as possible. Sorry, Jack, but it was just funny watching you just like try to run back as, you know, quick as you can. Probably didn't want to get his hair messed up. But yeah, what a day. Hey, Stu, what a day it was. As Harvey Price would say, what a day.
Yeah, one that will stick in the memories for a little while. There's some games that I look back on and you tell me a scoreline of something and I think, I can't really tell. I was there, but I can't tell you much about that. But games like Oxford and this one, they stick in your mind for different reasons, don't they? And as I say, there'll be ramifications to come. So when we get a decision, I don't know. I guess this committee will sit down today. They'll probably have to give an opportunity for both clubs to provide their evidence and their arguments. How long that then takes for them to sort of go through, I don't know. Gut instinct, it might be tomorrow, Wednesday, before we get a decision. So I'll keep sort of asking and digging, and as soon as we can bring people something, we will.
Indeed. And yeah, all eyes now on Portsmouth, back at Portland Road, who lost 2-0 against Sheffield Wednesday at home. Connor Chapman's first game back at Fratton Park, and they lost 2-0, so it wasn't good. So we actually quickly, Stu, look at the results on the weekend, because there were some interesting ones. Norwich lost again at home. Liam Manning has yet to win at Carroll Road, so it's not a good start. It's, you know, I know there's some talk about maybe he's under pressure this early doors. It's like, wow.
I watched some of the Pinkins coverage of that game, and all doesn't seem well north of the border at the moment. They're not happy, certainly with some of the home performances. Liam Manning already sort of questioning some of his players publicly, which is not great at this early stage of the season from their point of view. So, yeah, I mean, from Ipswich have got an important run of games coming up now. Portsmouth, as you say, have just lost to Sheffield Wednesday. Bristol City away Tuesday night. They lost to Oxford yesterday, 3-1. And then Norwich, as we've just said, where everything doesn't seem to be particularly rosy. So, important run of games now.
It is, yeah. We're now 17th because of obviously not being able to play. But yeah, Birmingham City, of course, scored a late goal against Swansea City to get a win. Hull beat Southampton 3-1. Leicester drew 0-0. Preston, by the way, fair play to them. They're obviously relegation favourites. Obviously beat us. They beat Derby on the weekend. They're fifth at the moment. They've only lost one game all season. And obviously Borough, under Rob Edwards, they're top. And have you seen that picture of George Emerson with his, like, he's basically, I'll quickly get you up so you can see, But bless him. He loves obviously getting into the battles, and he's your hairy ass defender. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's basically got a massive shiner because of, yeah, I don't know if you can find it quickly, but yeah, it's just incredible because obviously he must have battled and got hit right in the face. Let me find it quickly. I think anyone who's listening probably knows what I'm talking about. But I'll quickly show you on screen, and no one on socials would have seen this if I can find it. I should have brought this up before I was going to talk about it.
Well, while you're looking, I mean, Middlesbrough are flying, aren't they? Yeah. So that's, you know, Friday night trip there isn't too far away, is it? So, yeah, they're looking impressive from the bits I've seen of them. I mean, you mentioned a couple of other results there, which highlights how difficult it is for teams that come down from the Premier League, and that's Leicester and Southampton. Neither of them have kind of lit it up since they've come down. Southampton in particular struggling, 6 points from six. Leicester have got 11 from six. They're doing better, but you know, that's three of their six games that they haven't won. So, you know, it's not the easiest, is it? When you drop down from the Prem, and there's a lot of situations to unpick, as we see.
Definitely. I found it, by the way. Look at this. Oh.
Cool. Whoa. It's a proper shiner.
Yeah. Yeah. He said, cheers for all the messages. Appreciate it. So, yeah, that was... Ooh. He's not going to be able to see out that eye for a while. But, yeah, battle wounds from George Emerson there. And that'll be an interesting battle when we play them at the Riverside, which is obviously a Friday night. But, Stu, a good two-man pod today. AJ's off this week. He's having a lie down, as I always say. He's just trying to get over this abandoned game and obviously getting over the holiday blues. Obviously, he's come back from Spain, which it looked like he had a really good time. But any other business, my friend, I want to give a big shout out to everyone who took part in the Ipswich Half Marathon yesterday. I know there's a lot of Town fans who took part in that. And yeah, shout out to all of you who are listening if you did take part in the half marathon, because that is one hell of a job. And luckily it was nice weather for you, because that's the worst, isn't it? You prepare for like a run or a big event and it just starts to piss it down. It's just not fun, is it? But yeah, any other business, my friend?
No other business, I don't think, Ross. No, I think that's all good. We'll probably talk a bit more about Portsmouth in due course this week. Andre Dizel amongst their players as well, doing quite well by all accounts. So, yeah, Connor Chaplin won't be eligible to face his parent club, which I think we'll be relieved by, albeit it was going to be strange seeing him at Portman Road in another team's kit. I think we'll leave it there today. Very interested to see how this EFL decision plays out.
Yes, indeed. We shall wait and see, ladies and gentlemen. Keep yourself on our websites to find out the update on that. Also, want to give a shout out to the Tractor Girls as well. We've got an historic point away at Charlton on Sunday with that 0-0 draw against the Attics, who were unbeaten by that point. Well, they're still unbeaten, but they won their opening two games and were top of the table and an established side in this division. So a really good point and a really big improvement for Joe Sheehan's side. So well done to Tractor Girls for that big point. They're first in the WSL2. And yeah, thanks everyone for listening to another Kings of Anglia podcast sponsored by Stardust Spirits. Use the code KOA to get 20% off. And also another great sponsor, another Suffolk local business. Who are they, Stu?
Molecular.
Yes. KOA 10 for all your cleaning products and all that bits and bobs to sort of sort your car out and all that jazz. But yeah, also follow us on our socials, Kings of Anglia. And yeah, you can keep up to date with all the stuff we've got coming this week. And yeah, we'll speak to you later in the week to build up to Pompey at Portman Road. So Stu, thanks for joining me. Thanks everyone for listening. We'll speak to you next time. Bye for now.